And good evening. This is Spring Valley Bible Church. On Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Ezekiel. And for the last several weeks, we've had probably one week, the whole hour was introduction of dealing with the COVID-19. And we've just been putting it off. So tonight, we're going to charge right into Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And take up a few things that are pertinent for today as we go into our study. Now, opening the Bible. The most dangerous thing you will do is to open the Bible. And the reason for that is because you can read it in the flesh, in your IQ, in your theology, or in the power of the Holy Spirit. There are a multitude of interpretations, a lot of different gospels, a lot of different interpretations of that. Why? Because people don't rely on the Holy Spirit. So, let's spend a moment of introduction, prayer, give you an opportunity, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, but Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit, for without your Spirit, we would be lost. So, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that your Holy Spirit is with us to give us an understanding of Scripture. Father, we pray that all that we do tonight will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, to your plan for the ages to come. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. We're going to start right in. Verse 8. After many days. Okay. This is nearing the end of the tribulation. Now, the rapture will occur, and then there's a period of time, we don't know how long, before the 7 years of the tribulation begin. They will begin when Israel signs a covenant, an agreement, a treaty with the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. And when that is done, the 7 year clock begins. Now, as you move toward the end of that year period is when Christ is going to be returning, and that's what we're looking at in verse 8. After many days, near the end of the tribulation, you, Gog, the one we're talking to, will be summoned by Jesus Christ in the latter years. That is the latter years of the tribulation, just before the millennium. You, Gog, will come into the land, Palestine, that is restored from the sword, used for military assault. So much is involved in these words. You will come into the land, that is the land of Israel, the land of issue, now for some four centuries, that is restored, brought back from the sword. This is God's description of the land of Israel through the history of the Old Testament, the church age, age of the Gentiles. So many people have brought sword against the Jews. As you closed out the age of Israel, all through the church age, right up to today. But at this time in history, Jesus Christ will come and restore Israel for the last time, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations. This is important. Whose inhabitants? This refers to the Jews who inhabited Israel and Jerusalem. Whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. Now, here's the grand plan of Satan. Together are Jews from all over the world, under Zionism, Jews from all the other nations, Gentile nations, like America, Europe, Africa, India, and to rebuild the temple. Now, to get the Jews back into the land is what he wants, so that he can destroy them in one blast. In one battle. Zionism is not of God, but of Satan. Jesus Christ will regather all the Jews from all over the world at the beginning of the millennium, his second advent. Under Zionism, man tries to do what only God can do. Like he tries to save himself instead of just receiving by faith what God has provided from the cross work of Christ. To the mountains of Israel, now, which have been a continual waste, that is, without the Messiah King, a wilderness. But its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. This is because of the treaty made between Israel and the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. And what we're doing, we're looking at the alignment of the nations formed against Israel. Now, with that in mind, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 83. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 83. Now, this psalm is applicable, not written for today, but applicable today. The psalmist is praying to God not to be silent. To many, even Christians, it appears as though God is silent with COVID-19 so rampant. But people, please know, God is always acting in human history and in your life. Always. Let's look at Psalm 83, verse 1. Look at the psalmist. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And, O God, do not be still. Now, please note three words used by the distressed psalmist. Quiet, silent, still. These are not poetic repetition. Each word conveys a different thinking about God and what God is doing at this time in their history. Quiet. Quiet means he sees God as just resting, taking it easy, while his people are under siege. Silent. Now this one's interesting. This word means to be silent so as to indicate approval of all that is going on, as though God consented with what is happening to his own people Israel. And then the third word, still. A verb indicating no action. It seems to the writer that God is not concerned with what is going on. Before we move on in this psalm, I want to talk to you. Have you ever felt any or all of these actions by God? As though God doesn't care about what's going on in your life? You ever felt that way? I have. And it's a horrible feeling. Especially if you know that he loves you. What's going on, God? But right now it just seems as though God does not care, is not going to do anything about it, and approves of what is going on. Now let's read verses 2 and 3. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. Okay, now we come to verse 4. Do you ever wonder what the thoughts were of people on earth just before Christ came? We concentrate so much on the second advent, how he's going to come and destroy the enemies. But let's just, that morning, what do you think the enemies were thinking? The generals, Gog, the dictator that divided the Roman Empire, all these people. Here's what Gog and the enemy from the east and the north and the south were thinking. They have come, they have said, come, listen now, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. If you've kept up with the news in the last 10 years, you've heard almost these exact words from Iran and Iraq. We are Hamas, we're going to wipe out the Jews so that their name will be remembered no more. It's almost like they're quoting scripture. This is exactly what they think, even boast, they're going to do to the Jews. But I pray that you people know better, that you know God is faithful. He's a faithful God. He's going to be faithful to Israel. He's going to fulfill the unconditional covenants, like the land covenant, like the covenant to David, the king, rule on this, or a king from his ancestry that will rule forever on his throne. So, verse 4 gives us the insight as today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That is the Muslims' desire, the Arabs' desire. That is the desire of all the nations around Israel. Take them out. Take them out. Well, why? Why do they hate Israel? People, it's a supernatural hate from Satan. Many people can't even explain why they're anti-Semitic. They just, those Jews. And here they want to wipe them out. Now let's go to verse 5. Continues their thinking. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. They make a covenant. That is against God. So all these people have come together. They have a common enemy. That common enemy is God. That common enemy is Jesus Christ. That common enemy is Israel. And that's what joins them together. I'm amazed, really amazed, that a Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, her hatred of Trump interferes with the welfare of this country. That is just astounding to me. Her hatred is so great. She doesn't care about America. She wants to get rid of Trump. Hatred, jealousy, revenge, these are all detrimental to your soul. That's why spiritual love will not allow these to enter. Now, verse 5, for they have conspired together with one mind against you. They make a covenant. Now, verse 6, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, that's modern-day Saudi Arabia, Moab and the Hagarites. Hagarites, modern-day Iran. Verse 7, Jebel, modern-day Jebel. The modern nation is spelled G-E-B-E-I-L, 25 miles north of Beirut. And Ammon and Amalek, Philistia, and the inhabitants of Tyre. That's modern-day Lebanon. Assyria has also joined them. This is the alignment of the nations against Israel. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Now, if we were studying this, I'd have to go through the whole history of Lot. Now, starting in verse 9, it changes. In verse 9, he starts his prayer to God. I want to just read it through. I want you to sense and learn to pray from this psalmist on his desire that God would act in this way. So verse 9, verse 1 through 8, the dilemma, the problem. Verse 9 and following, what he's going to pray to God. That's a good outline for prayer, people. Okay, God, I hurt. This is what's going on in my life, my marriage, my finances, my health, these type of things. I need you. And then you start with your petition. Let's read it. Deal with them as with Midian. Now, this would take a lot of history time, but you'll get the idea that these were dealt with severely by God. As with Sarira and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became a dung for the ground. Pretty strong. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zabah and Zalmanah, who said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff between the wind, before the wind. Now, I want to give you a warning. To pray like this against somebody, you really have to know what you're doing. You have to know the Bible, God, His plan, history. Be very careful. Don't pray for God just to take out somebody you don't like. Somebody that's cheated you, something like that. This is a dangerous prayer, but it's a very viable prayer. A very real prayer. Let's continue reading. Verse 12. Who said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the forest, like a flame that sets the mountain on fire. So pursue them with your tempest. Terrify them with your storm. We have no weapons. You're going to have to do it, God. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Now see, that's beautiful. He wants them to be brought to a point where they will run to God. However, we know in Revelation they're not going to. They're going to go pray for the mountains to fall on them rather than turn to the Lord. But let's look at 17 and 18. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever. Let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. It's a powerful prayer. Read it sometime again. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, regathered in unbelief. Now, I'll take time somewhere in Ezekiel, show you how they will be regathered, and it's very clear, in unbelief. In unbelief. Most of Israel today, in fact, I don't know any percentage, but I dare say over 95, do not believe Jesus is the promised Messiah. But they're in their land. They will be regathered in unbelief, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, safely, all of them. Now, verse 9. And you, Gog, will go up, and you will come like a storm, blistering warfare. You will be like a cloud covering the land with His troops, with His force, with His power. You and all your troops and many peoples with you. We're coming with Gog. We studied these forces in verses 5 through 6. Note the end of verse 6, repeated here in verse 9. Many peoples with you. So you take all of what we know as the Magog, Russia, and all the peoples that are now part of all of that empire. What is it that will cause this coalition, this alignment of nations, to invade Israel? Why? Israel doesn't have an army. Israel isn't standing there with guards. Israel doesn't have all of this natural resources. Why are they going against Israel? Often armies invade throughout history to add land to their own territory, gain material wealth, revenge, and so forth. Here, the reason they're all going to come against Israel, a supernatural hate. It is supernatural, given from a supernatural creature, Satan. A supernatural hate. That's what's going on all over the world in anti-Semitism right now. In England, in Europe, in America, all over the world. Anti-Semitism is growing. Growing. Increasing. Getting ready for the tribulation. It is unbelievable what is going on. Let's go to verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, Jesus Christ. It will come about on that day. Now, a couple of weeks ago we dealt with that day, this day, the last day. This is the day of the Lord, the day of His return and defeat of all the enemies of Israel, the day of His return to earth. Much of Zephaniah deals with this day. Revelation deals with this day. Now we concentrate so on the coming of the Lord. But what about the thoughts of the people on earth? What were their thoughts this very decisive day in history? What were they thinking? Oftentimes we wake up in the morning, no problems going on as far as severity, and then that day something happens. An automobile wreck, diagnosed with cancer, financial loss, these kinds of things. When we woke up in the morning, just another morning. What were their thoughts this morning when they woke up? Now you and I know later on the Lord's going to come and He's going to wipe them all out. Battle of Armageddon. But what were they thinking? Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind. Thoughts against the Jews. Thoughts of annihilating the Jews. Hatred of the Jews. Wiping them off of the earth so their name will be remembered no more. Destruction of Israel. The annihilation of all the Jews on earth. Satan has hated the Jews ever since he learned that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was going to come through the people of the Jews. He tried to annihilate them early in history. For an example, Pharaoh. When they walked out of Egypt, Pharaoh chased them. He planned on destroying every one of them right there. That could have been the end of the whole deal. God performed a miracle. Parted the way by grace, love, care. They walked across dry land. Well, Pharaoh saw that. Hey, it's good for them. It's good for me. Let's go. Got his army into the midst of it. And all of a sudden, the waves came and destroyed them. But his plan, right from there, was to destroy all the Jews of the world. Get rid of them. Breaks the mind of story. Man at work believes the word of God, believes it. Another man at work doesn't, and is harassing him. You don't believe all those stories in the Bible, do you? Oh, yes, I do. You don't believe that an entire Egyptian army was wiped out, the Red Sea, do you? Yes, I do. Listen, I happen to know for sure that the Red Sea was only 2 inches of water. Praise God, what a miracle. What do you mean, praise God, that a whole army was wiped out with 2 inches of water? See, when you believe something, you believe it. It's that simple. He believed it, and if it's 2 inches of water, 2 inches of water. I hope you have that kind of faith. I hope I do. Okay, now, then, they get to pass that one. Haman, in the book of Esther, he plotted to get rid of the Jews throughout the church age. Wow. Rome at the beginning. The Spanish Inquisition. Hitler. And today, anti-Semitism is growing throughout the world. In fact, this week is the celebration of a memorial of the Holocaust. Hitler wanted to do away. He had planned on getting rid of every Jew in the world, starting within Europe. Wipe them off the face of the earth. Their name would be remembered no more. And all that happened, they multiplied. They multiplied. Kept trying to get rid of them, they kept multiplying. Okay? Why? Why so many people hate the Jews? In short, many of them do not know why themselves. I call it a supernatural hatred. And it will reach its peak during the 7 years, which we call the tribulation, thought put there by their head, Satan. He hates the Jews. I read somewhere the Jews are being blamed for COVID-19. It's hard to explain, but nevertheless, that's what they believe. Now, continuing. And you will devise an evil plan. Evil is against God. Evil plan to destroy Israel. And let me tell you something. Destroy it while it's defenseless. Some of you may be thinking, how could Israel be defenseless? They're pretty strong right now. Remember, this is the end of the 7 years, the worst 7 years of human history. At the beginning of this 7 years, Israel will make a covenant, an agreement, a covenant with the dictator who revived Roman Empire. And that covenant is going to involve, lay down your arms. I will protect you. We will protect you. You don't need them. Put them down. Israel will do that. Israel will put down their arms and not defend themselves any longer. They made a very foolish decision, very foolish treaty with a dictator who revived Roman Empire. Part of that government will be, that agreement will be, lay down their arms. Military. Even the populace will give up their guns. Right now, the citizens of Israel are allowed not only to own guns and weapons, but to carry them. But at the beginning of the tribulation, they will surrender their weapons voluntarily. We should learn from history that when a people are disarmed, the government is in total control and can do whatever it wants to with you. Right now, the strongest army in the world is the armed American citizens across America. Strongest army. The Democrats are hungry to take your weapons away. Why? So that they can control you. So that they can make us part of the globalist nation. Not America anymore. They don't care about America. Not one bit. They're globalists. They want to take away weapons from citizens. Because they know better. And they'll protect you. Oh, we'll protect you. No, they won't, people. They'll take your freedom away. A cherished document in American history is the Bill of Rights. I encourage you once a month, take 5 minutes and read through it. All the Bill of Rights. They're your rights. Be careful when they're infringed upon. After this COVID-19 is over, I wonder if we're going to return to those freedoms that we had. We already lost a lot of them, but I wonder if we'll return. I hope we do. I'm not a prophet, but I'm scared about it. I'm scared, and I'm watching carefully with our freedoms after COVID-19. Because the Democrats will do whatever they can. Their motto is, don't let a tragedy go unexploited. They want to exploit COVID-19 to their plan of globalization, their plan to take America down. Guard your rights. Okay. So, his evil plan to destroy Israel and use what is left of Jerusalem as a supply line, with its main objective to turn back and take Africa. Now, all through history, invaders have taken over peoples not armed. All through history. Now, in America, we are led by those who do not know history, or in a bold arrogance, think they can change history. They think they can change it. Let's see if I brought a thing I wanted to read to you. Yes, I did. I talked to my good friend, Robert Eubank. He used to be a professor at Rice. And he heard last week's message where we talked about a republic, a democracy, socialism, liberalism, socialism, and communism. Well, he called and we talked for about an hour and a half over all those kind of things. And he liked most of our definitions. But I want to tell you one thing, what he wanted to make sure we understand. In a classical or pure democracy, people govern themselves directly. In a republic, people elect representatives to govern themselves. Now, modern, today, what they're learning in school today, 1 through 12, colleges, modern democracy, in modern parlance, a democracy is seen basically as the same as a republic. So that's why a lot of them can't give you any definition that would distinguish them. They're not taught a day to difference. Today, modern democracy in the modern parlance, a democracy is seen basically as the same as a republic. Though, and here's the kicker, a democracy will not protect individual rights and civil liberties as will the republic. Ending our discussion, I just took down some things we talked about. Democratic socialism. Now, the reason they do that is they want it acceptable to the college student and to people. Democratic, oh, well, okay, that's what I am. Democratic socialism is the modern term. You can forget the democratic. It's socialism. But they want to call it in textbooks democratic socialism. Democratic socialism basically calls for a redistribution of wealth and goods of a society by democratic means. Take it away from this. What they want to do is want everybody the lowest common denominator, and therefore everybody will be happy. Their ideology is everybody has the same, then everybody will be happy. See? That's what they design. That's what they think. See? Now, you must never underestimate the makeup of man. Don't do this when you get married. Don't do this when you have children. Never underestimate the makeup of mankind. The democratic socialist, if you please, I call him straight out liberal socialist, communist, have the idea that the basic makeup of man is good. Man is basically good. See? That's what they basically believe. Now, give wealth and prosperity and all the wealth of it, globalists teach that man is basically good, and once everyone is equal, lowest common denominator. Not up here, down here. Lowest common denominator. If the lowest common denominator, then everybody will be happy. People, please don't believe that. That'll never happen. Learn from the Word of God. Man is basically evil. Our flesh nature. We inherited from Adam after the fall. We're born this way. And the Bible describes the basic nature of our flesh in five wonderful ways, frightening ways. One, continuously being corrupted. Continuously being corrupted, Ephesians 4:22. Two, most deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9. Your flesh nature is most deceitful. You see, ladies, it's not the man is deceitful. Men, it's not the ladies deceitful. We're all, by our flesh nature, deceitful. It's a parent's job to rear their children correctly. Counter some of these the best you can. Three, incurably sick. Incurably sick. Jeremiah 17:9. I want to add something before we go to the fourth one. Incurably sick. This is why God is not in a makeover mode. That's why we use the term born again. A whole new spiritual creation. God doesn't try to remake what is incurably sick. He can't. It's over. He's going to give you a new birth. And you become a new spiritual creature in Christ. See? Okay. That's the third one. Now the fourth one. Full of evil. Ecclesiastes 9:3. People, this is every human being. Now, I do not suggest when you're able to go back to the hospitals and you see a newborn baby, I don't suggest you look at the parents and say, my, continuously corrupted, deceitful, incurably sick, and full of evil. That's not going to be a good deal. But let's know it. And let's don't buy into policies that the politicians want to come across with that basic idea. See, this is what's wrong with psychoheresy. Psychoheresy is bringing into the church human psychology that starts off with the idea, man's basically good. We just have to figure out what's wrong with you. Well, I tell you what's wrong with you. These five things. Okay? So, if I do any counseling in this area, I start off, well, let's start off, you're basically a bad, evil person. Well, thank you, I'm leaving. Well, that was an easy, quick counseling session. See? Now, the fifth one, the fifth description of our flesh nature is the one I like the best. Insane. Ecclesiastes 9:3. Why insane? What is an insane person? How do we understand an insane? Completely disoriented to reality. Disoriented to society, to others, to self. See? Insane. Well, people, let me tell you something. Every unbeliever and every believer who's in this flesh nature, not in the Holy Spirit, we are divorced from the reality of the plan of God. Only the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be in the plan of God. That's why I keep stressing, know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because if you're not, you're insane. You're not in line. See? Through this whole COVID-19, I've heard people, mostly Democrats, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. But most of them. And I sit there and go, how can they say that? That's insane. And then I think, yeah, that is. They are insane. They're divorced from reality. Completely and totally divorced from reality. See? So, this is our flesh nature. See? Disoriented to the plan of God, divine institutions, morally, and so on. So, globalist plan, the communistic plan, will never work. I wish somebody would just read the history of Russia, read the history of Venezuela, and you'll learn. It isn't going to work. One of the greatest creations in the history of the church is what happened in American history, where our forefathers wanted freedom. And they came up with the idea of freedom and republic, but they needed an economic plan to go with it. Lo and behold, God had a man over in Europe, and he wrote The Wealth of Nations, Laissez-faire Capitalism. He put the two together, and that's what made America so great. But man is basically evil. And I like people who say, well, capitalism just works on greed. You bet it does. You bet it does. Now, I want some money you have. What can I do to get your money? I know I'll make you shoes. I know what I'll do. I'll make you some clothes. I know what I'll do. I'll farm some products. I'll ranch some cattle. See? That's what keeps it going. How can I serve mankind to get what I want? See? Excuse me just a minute. I thought I was going to sneeze. It's nothing. Okay, now. So, this is the whole issue. Understand the nature of man. See? Wake up. Learn from the Word of God. Man is basically evil. God does not try to fix it. We're born again. We're born a new spiritual creature. When one believes in Jesus Christ, they become a new spiritual creature. Only God can do this. And He does it at regeneration. Now let's go to verse 11. And you, Gog, will say, prophesy. I will go up against the land of an unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, safely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates. I hope you see it. Israel considered itself secure. Let's take a look at it. Unwalled villages. You know what a wall is? That's protection. In the time in which the Bible was, that's protection. Built walls. That was part of their defense. They're at rest. They're not learning in war. They're not training in war. They don't have any weapons. Live securely off of this covenant. They're trusting the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. Well, the rest of the world sees this. They're prime product. They're ready to be taken. That's like blood to a shark. There it is. They're going to go after Israel. Israel considered itself security, national security, homeland security, financial security. People, America loses security daily. We're giving up our freedom for what we're told is to combat an invisible disease. Yearly, over 80,000 Americans die of flu. But, no economic collapse. As we're seeing with some 42,000 claimed to have been to have died by COVID-19. I don't know if I believe that. We hear a lot about homeland security. While all it is a plan to disarm the American people. Take away your weapons, take away your arms, while at the same time weakening military forces. While all this is going on, we're told that the government will take care of us. And more people are believing it, believing these lies, believing it. And that is exactly what the Jews will do in the tribulation. The Jews have no protection, no fortification, without military installments, without strong barriers, not even a weapon in their home. Their land is ready to be taken. Apparently, they will rely on the powerful army of the West, which is not going to be powerful. So they will give up their own arms, relying on a piece of paper to protect them. And because of an alliance with the King of the West, dictator of the revived Roman Empire, they're going to feel secure. Don't ever do that in America. Don't ever feel secure. So secure, you'll give up your weapons. So, these nations will see this as an opportunity to invade and destroy. An armed people is the best deterrent for invasion and takeover. That's why our own president, the past president, Obama, had plans to disarm the people. And Democrats want to disarm you every day. Don't let them. Don't let them disarm you. A armed people are a protected people. Let's go to verse 12. We have a few minutes left. Verse 12. More reason for the invasion. More reason for the attack. To gain control of the Middle East because of its strategic location, and they are after the wealth of the Middle East, eventually Northern Africa. Now you got to remember, if you take a look at the map, Israel is right in the middle. You're coming from the north to the south, go from the south to the north, going east, west, you're going to go through this area. They want to control it. A strategic location. Verse 12. To capture soil and to seize plunder. There is great wealth, the ground to be taken at their plan, at their desire. To turn your hand, Gog, as representative of all the armies, move against Palestine from the north, against the waste places which are now inhabited. Jews have moved throughout their land. And against the people who are gathered from the nations. Again, Jews have migrated to Israel in the Zionist movement, who have occupied cattle, of acquired cattle and goods. You know, it's interesting. The Holocaust. Before Hitler, there was no nation of Israel. Hitler designed it to destroy all the Jews. What happened? What happened? He killed the Jews, he put them in that mindset, and when the war was finally over, 1945, May, Jews wanted to go back to Israel. And they started returning to their homeland. And 3 years later, in 1948, they became a nation recognized by the UN in May. Saying, God's at work in history. You can just see God's working in history, people. All the way through. See? Now, against the waste places which they are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the mountains, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. Oh, what a statement. Who live at the center of the world. What a great statement, people. Think about that. The center of the world. We saw at the beginning of Armageddon, Palestine has been the center of the world throughout all history. It's an interesting phrase. Look at Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5. Ezekiel 5:5, a powerful passage. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations with lands around her. Chosen by God, not by Abraham, not by David, certainly not by the heretic Muhammad, who did not even come there until 570 AD, and now they want it only because it's Christian. In their history, they haven't cared about Jerusalem at all. But now that they see that it's important to Christians and Jews, they want it. See? That's what they want. By the way, the Muslims are supposed to be celebrating Ramadan, and they're supposed to be going to their capital. They can't go. It's shut down. It's shut down completely. Okay, now, the Muslims have to slaughter, invade, destroy, kill, murder people to establish themselves. Force themselves on others. You know what Islam means? Submission. Submit. Submit to us. We'll overrule you. That's what it means. Because they know that people all over the world will reject it, so it has to be forced. They'll take it by force. All over the world. Terror going on through Nigeria, Kenya, Europe. Building a base in America. It's here. But America will not wake up. America will not wake up. We vote them into office. It was God Himself who chose this place as the center of the world, not man. God Himself. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 8. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of man, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. People, boundaries, nationalism, all established by God. Know your Bible. Wake up. Demand your pastor study and teach you the Word of God. The truth of God's Word. Demand it. Well, we'll resume here next Wednesday night. And right now I don't plan on any long introduction, but you never know what will happen. But we'll start right here next Wednesday night. And I'll see you Sunday morning at 9:30 continue studying in spiritual love. Love is not arrogant. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Followed by a study in Ephesians chapter 1. And boy, we have some beautiful things to study in Ephesians 1 about God. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. For because from your word we learn, you are in control of history. You have a plan laid out for the future. Satan can fight it, man can resist it. We can be comforted. Your plan will work out. So we can make up our mind either to get with your plan or resist it. We choose, Heavenly Father, to live by faith and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you for tonight's study, Father. Pray that your Spirit can use these things to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for